As stated earlier, we had a celebration last night, and again, I want to thank all of you who worked hard. And many of you stayed late to clean up after the celebration. I mean, you have so often these celebrations go off as seemingly without a hitch, but you know there are many hands involved. And I imagine there are a few here who are struggling to keep awake. Now, one thing I will be mindful of, and what this first verse kind of gets me into thinking about, is that if by chance those toothpicks come out of the eyelids and you start to grow a little bit weary and the eyes start to go like this, I will assume that you are praying. Until you start snoring. And then I'll change the wine into water. No, okay. But did you note how that this passage from Paul to his young friend Timothy began? You know, it didn't say, "I urge that supplications be made for everyone." No, it didn't say that supplications, prayers be made for everyone. It didn't say supplications, prayers, intercessions be made for, and for is the operative word, everyone. It does say that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. Not just one kind of prayer, not just two, but, you know, prayer that is multifaceted. Prayer, I guess, didn't he elsewhere talk about prayer without ceasing? You know, pray. Yesterday, was mentioned earlier, was actually the International Day of prayer for peace, something we probably should be doing more than one day out of a year. You know, just like Thanksgiving should be more than one day to be grateful, right? Well, this International Day is actually something relatively new, and it's something I would long for us to sort of grow into making a part of our, I guess this is the third Saturday of every September. And in fact, I've asked Jean if next year she could get started now on maybe planning something for us for next year in that area so that we might have this lifted up. But this is something that we should be about at all times. Now, the Apostle Paul, he wasn't saying pray for peace, but in a way he sort of was. He was saying supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for, and there's the operative word, for everyone. Now, I guess we're a part of that everyone, but notice this is an outward sort of thing. Prayer that reaches out beyond the confines. So often when we think of prayer, we are thinking about praying for the things that we need. And God does indeed care about the things we need. And we need to be coming to the Lord for this, you know, for our daily bread and making our needs known to God. But you know, that's not what this passage is talking about. This is praying for others. In fact, to get a little bit more specific, did you hear whom Paul was calling Timothy to teach the people he was learning how to lead? Did you hear whom he was calling them to pray for? He was saying, pray for kings and all who are in high positions. Now pray for people who are in power. How often do you pray for the people in the government? How often do you pray for, the leaders in our county? How often do you pray for the people in the state house, whether you agree with them or not? How often do you pray for what's going on in D.C.? Do you pray for your president? Do you pray for your representative? Do you pray for Congress? I think we probably complain a lot more than we pray. Do you think? Pray for those. Now, it's an interesting thing about prayer. Something I have learned over the years is that prayer is somewhat subversive. I have discovered that when I pray, oftentimes the first thing that changes is me. Have you ever noticed that in your prayers? Especially as you're praying for others. God so often works not from on high. You know, we have the promise that God does listen to our prayers. Have you noticed in what Jesus said about praying? You know, said, what's that phrase? Whenever two or more are gathered in my name. You remember that phrase? Whenever two or more. Something that should be noted about that, and I think we do pick it up, you know, but it almost goes without saying, but you know, that there's that sense of pulling together. That we're not alone in this. That there's a joining of minds and hearts. There's a connection that the process, if you will, of peace has already begun whenever we get together with at least one more person. You add another, and the process is continued and widened and made stronger. Whenever two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. That is a powerful affirmation. Have you ever thought about that? When you joined your heart with another person in prayer, that awesome sense of God's very presence. I mean, yes, we have the assurance of God's presence in the Holy Spirit whenever we individually pray. But so often when it's a matter of just me praying solely, I can lose track of what God is really doing. That it's not about Lone Ranger Christians out there. It's about followers of Jesus who are connecting up and pulling together, and that sense of unity that comes not because we are all in lockstep, not because we all think the same things, but just because we are gathered in Jesus' name. And that in Jesus' name not being just kind of a statement we say, but you know, when we say in Jesus' name, there's that sense of the promise of the presence. And then elsewhere, Jesus says something to the extent of, whenever two or more agree on something, you know, that adds strength. Now, it's not that we are necessarily agreeing fully on all the details. Imagine, you know, for a person on the right and a person on the left, politically, who are very far apart, coming together in a form of agreement that needs to happen for things to happen. Imagine the power of that. And getting to agreement is sort of how peace happens, isn't it? We may not be in lockstep with one another, but we recognize our common humanity. We recognize the sense that we are brothers and sisters together. Praying for peace. But one thing I do note, and I don't want to go overboard in my preaching time, but I do note what changes here in these passages. It says, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, and all who are in high positions, and then it gets to so that. And you think that the so that would be so that they would do what they are supposed to do. But it says, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. What changes in prayer? We do. We change. One prayer at a time. One step at a time. Of course, Paul goes on to reveal the massive step that God undertook in Jesus Christ. How Jesus Christ was sent Not to save just a few people over here and a few people over there and all the rest be damned. Not to save just the Jewish people. And remember, Jesus was a Jew coming to his own people. But so that everyone, and Jesus came, not only came, but he did what he did and he died for all, to make peace, it says, for all, to redeem, to ransom all people. Do we catch some of that from this passage? You know, Paul comes down at the end, having said all that, then he kind of alludes to the fact of his own calling. And you will perhaps remember that the Apostle Paul started out his ministry as sort of 180 degrees in the other direction. He was a persecutor. He was an enemy of God's people. He thought he was doing what was right. He thought he was trying to wipe out a cancer in the middle of God's people. And he in fact had gotten letters from those in power in the religious community to go out and kind of weed out all of these followers of Jesus. But something happened along the way. And you might say that, well, maybe it was prayer that did it. I don't know. But on that road to Damascus, he was blinded and headed in a whole new direction. And that whole new direction was, instead of wiping out this movement, it was spreading this movement beyond the boundaries that everybody thought were supposed to be there. That everybody thought that Jesus only came for the Jewish people. But Paul was saying, no. Everybody, that's what it's meant by Gentiles. Everyone was sent to, in a way, make peace with everyone. To share that Jesus, and to speak about Jesus, but also live the Jesus way. Prayer, the bottom line, is that prayer prods us. It changes us. It moves us towards God's ultimate goal. God's ultimate goal is that none should perish. None. Now, we're not the ones that define who eventually gets saved and who does not, who is heading one direction and who is not. That's not our responsibility. But we are to lift up God's ultimate desire that everyone should be saved, to make peace by the blood of the cross. That is, it lies at the heart of who we are as God's people. Prayer prods us towards peace.